last week when we ended Sefer Bereishis, and I spoke a shul, I spoke a little bit wistfully about letting go of Bereishis with the beautiful stories of the Masa Avos. But now we get to Sefer Shemot, and we see Sefer Shemot is not so bad. What a beautiful, beautiful story. It's really our story, the story of Klal Yisrael, and the story of how Klal Yisrael came to be. And what I'd like to focus on today, not so much to say Chidushim, but to point out some things about the origins of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, who ultimately became the Mashiach Shel Yisrael, the savior of Klal Yisrael, the one who would lead Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, chosen by Hashem to do so. What did it take to produce that Moshe Rabbeinu, and how did Moshe come to be? And the Torah doesn't tell us all that much, and yet the Torah tells us so much. In the first 11 Pesukim and Perek Beis, and we'd like to just point out some of the things that we see that tell us about the heroism that was necessary and Hashgacha that was necessary in order for Moshe to become Moshe. The Pasuk begins, Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph, Ve'yelech ish beis Levi ve'yikach es bas Levi. A man went forth from the house of Levi and took the daughter of Levi, married the daughter of Levi. And these are, of course, Moshe's parents, Amram and Yocheved, and yet the Torah doesn't tell us their names. The Torah just tells us, a man went forth from the house of Levi and married the daughter of Levi. Later on, the Torah tells us their names. Why is the Torah just putting it this way right now? A man from the house of Levi, like the daughter of the house of Levi. A couple of explanations we find. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says that what the Torah wants to tell us at this point, at the very beginning, before Moshe is even born, the Torah wants to tell us and emphasize that Moshe Rabbeinu, the savior of Klal Yisrael, the greatest tzaddik and the greatest Navi that ever lived, had both a father and a mother. Because in the world out there, there are people who can't imagine something like that, who can't imagine outside of the Jewish world, they can't imagine that someone who's just ordinary flesh and blood with the quote-unquote evil that is the flesh should ever be able to become something so great and someone so amazing and someone so spiritual like Moshe. But the Torah says, no, Moshe had a father and a mother to tell us that yes, it is possible. The greatest tzaddik, the Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest Navi, could come from both a father and a mother. And not only is Moshe such a great tzaddik, but you too can become a great tzaddik. Because every person can become a tzaddik like Moshe, so tells the Gemara. As a matter of fact, Rav Hirsch really makes the same point, but he makes the same point in next week's parasha, where the Torah does give us a little bit of the background of Moshe. It tells who his parents are, and tells us who Shevet Reuben was, Shevet Shimon was, and Shevet Levi was, who were the children of Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, until you get to Moshe and Aaron, is in order to tell us the same point that Rav Yaakov says the Torah is telling us here, to tell us that Moshe was known, he was a known entity, he had parents, he had a father, a mother, he had uncles, cousins, everybody knew the ganze mishpacha of Moshe Rabbeinu. So nobody should make the mistake, like they do in that other religion, where, as the first puts it, a child is born of questionable origin. His lineage was not available. And therefore they decided, oh, we're going to make something spiritual out of him. He had to do with some kind of divine involvement in the production of this child. The Torah tells us, no, Moshe Rabbeinu is a regular human being, and a regular human being has that potential for greatness. And each of us, being the regular human beings that we are, not just regular because as human beings, no human being is regular. No member of Klal Yisrael is regular. Having a Nishmas Yisrael that gives us the potential for spiritual greatness. The verse of this week's parasha says that the Torah is trying to emphasize that Moshe was a Levi on both sides of his family. Because Levi was the one who, while criticized by Yaakov, Shimon Levi Achim, Or Apam, that their anger should be cursed, but at the same time, Shimon Levi Achim, Levi had the quality of feeling brotherhood, brother to Dina, brother to the family, feeling a sense of spiritual pride. So Rav Hirsch says that when Yaakov says, Achal kin bi Yaakov, that feast of Yisrael, but he says, I will divide amongst Yaakov and scatter them in Yisrael, those are two very different ideas. In Yisrael, they have to be scattered because they have to be diluted, so to speak, because their energy perhaps is a little bit too strong and they can have a destabilizing effect. But Klal Yisrael is on the level of Yisrael. The level of Yisrael means in Eretz Yisrael, with the Malchus and so on. But the Yaakov, when Klal Yisrael is Yaakov, it means in the Madrega that they're on in Golus, that they're in exile and they need Chizuk, they need to have the spirits uplifted. Achal kin be Yaakov. I will apportion them out amongst the Yaakov. That Yaakov needs a little bit of Levi everywhere, wherever they are, in order to lift up the spirits and feel a sense of pride in who they are. And that was Moshe. Moshe would come from Levi, both on his father's side and his mother's side. The passage is a Yelach. He went forth. This Ish, Mibes Levi, Moshe's father to be Amram, went forth. Where did he go from? Where was he coming from? Where was he going? So there's a Gemara in Masechta Sota. And the Gemara in Masechta Sota says that he was going with the advice of his daughter. Yelach Ish, Mibes Levi, Lehechan Halach. Where is he going? Amr of Yehuda bar Zavna, Shahalach Batas Bito. He went with the counsel of his daughter, who told him some very, very important advice. The Gemara says as follows. Amram Gadol Hador Haya. Amram was the Gadol Hador. He was the Gadol Hador, the Gadol Hador of Klal Yisrael. And when he heard the Gezeirah, the decree, that every Jewish boy has to be cast into the sea, he decided that there's no point in staying married. Kiran Sheparo HaRasha said, Kol HaBen HaYila HaYoret HaShichu, every Jewish boy has to be cast into the sea. Amr said, L'shavon HaMelech, there's no point in being married, no point in bringing children to the world. Amad V'girish Es Ishto. He stood up, he arose, and he divorced his wife, Yochanan. Now what happens when the Gadol Hador does that? Everyone followed suit. Abdul Kulan, all of Kliyasa went, the Gishers and Sustain, and they divorced the wives. Now this is a disaster, can you imagine? All of Kliyasa separating from the wives, no more children, no more Jewish children. What would happen to the future of Kliyasa? Amar lo bito, so his daughter Miriam said to him, Abba, Kashik Zeraska Yosem Yishal Paro, your decree is worse than Paro's, because Paro only decreed on the boys and he decreed on the girls. And Paro decreed that they should not have Olam Hazeh. You decreed they shouldn't have Olam Haba either. And Paro's decree may not come true, and your decree for sure is going to come true. So what happened? Amram went ahead and he remarried his wife Yocheved, and that's a Yelach Ish Beis Levi, Meikachas Bas Levi. He remarried his wife, and what happened as a result of that? All of Klal Yisrael remarried, and the future of Klal Yisrael was reassured. Was assured. Now we have to imagine for a moment. What would have happened if Miriam had not given this advice? What would have happened to no Moshe and no Klal Yisrael, no children, no future generation? Miriam becomes the hero of the story at this particular point where she gives her father advice, which took tremendous, tremendous, perhaps even a chutzpah on her part, to tell her father that he has to marry her mother, to criticize her father's decision. But that's what saved Klal Yisrael, and that's what made it possible for Moshe to be brought into the world. And we have to reflect on this for a moment, because in the history of Klal Yisrael, there are many times that it wasn't so convenient to have a child. Now today, children are considered to be pretty much an inconvenience, a necessary inconvenience, but an inconvenience that should only be brought into the world after everything else is done and everything else is ready. After I've traveled, after I've climbed the corporate ladder, after I have enough money set aside for my grandchildren's college tuition, everything has to be in place, and now I'll bring my 1.2 children into the world, leading to the negative population growth that we find in the Western world and in the Eastern world as well, Japan and so on. Negative population growth. Klal Yisrael historically had many times when it was extremely inconvenient to be chosen to the world, when the pogroms, the expulsions, the impositions, and Holocaust. Who knows, throughout the days of Klal Yisrael, if we would have decided, if our grandparents would have decided not to bring children to the world because it wasn't a good time to have Jewish children, we would have disappeared a long, long time ago. But right from the get-go, we find in Mitzrayim, with the advice of Miriam, that we don't take that approach. We don't wait for it to be convenient, because it's always convenient and it's always wonderful to bring Jewish child to the world. I'm not talking about particular family circumstances where shalas have to be asked. I'm talking about overall, we value our children, we love our children, we realize that the greatest thing we can do is bring Jewish children to the world to assure the continuity of Klal Yisrael, to assure the continuity of Mitzorah, and that's the greatest thing we can do and the greatest mitzvah we can do. The pasuk goes on to describe Moshe, what happens to Moshe at that point. Moshe is born. First, his mother and his parents conceive him, and he's born. And what does his mother have to do? She has to place him in the river. Can we imagine what that took for that Jewish mother to do that to that Jewish child? She has a baby. because that was the advice that she followed, that they followed, and they brought a child into the world, and now what does she have to do? She has to take that child and put him in the river. What kind of pain that must have been, what kind of trauma that must have been to put in the river, but she does what she has to do, and the hope and the confidence and the betachon of the Baruch Hu that things are going to be okay, and somehow somebody's going to be saved. And of course, Miriam gets involved. And who finds Moshe? As Miriam is watching, who finds Moshe? So here we see the hashgacha begin to kick in. Because of all the people that find Moshe, it's the daughter of Paro. It's Basi, the daughter of Paro. What was she doing there? Pasuk says that Kirin Bas Paro looked at Al Yor. The Bas Paro went lichot Al Yor to bathe by the sea. And Chazal tell us that she wasn't just bathing, but she's bathing from her avodah zarah. In essence, she was converting to you can call Judaism to the monotheism of Klal Yisrael. That she became a Gioris. Now, of all the people to become a Gioris, it was the daughter of Paro at that time when the Jewish people were being oppressed. But the truth is that throughout the history of Klal Yisrael, you find that. Whether it's in Roman times or in Greek times or in other circumstances where Jews are being oppressed, we find people converted to Klal Yisrael, not just anybody, but we find nobility, we find royalty converted to Klal Yisrael. For example, the Okolos Hagero came from the royal family. He was during the Roman oppression of the Jewish people, we have Okolos Hagero converted to Klal Yisrael. So Bas Paro converts, and she is the one who finds baby Moshe. Of all the people, she's the one who finds baby Moshe. And she brings Moshe ultimately to the palace, and Moshe grows up in the palace. Now, why does Moshe have to grow up in the palace? It sounds like a tremendous irony then, because Baruch Hu throws into the whole story that Moshe, who would be the one to lead Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, would save the Jewish people from Paro, is brought up dafka in Paro's palace. Nowhere else but in the very palace of Paro, that Paro is his stepfather, or his grandfather, we should say. Step-grandfather. But it's more than that, because we're told, something we've shown him suggests that the reason why Moshe had to be brought up in the house of Paro, of all places, because Moshe had to be the one to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. And the leader of Klal Yisrael couldn't come from a slave class. Klal Yisrael was beaten down. They were oppressed. They had low self-esteem. They were slaves. Slaves in a very, very oppressive society. And from there, it's very difficult to produce a leader. How would Moshe grow to have the pride, to have the sense of conviction, the boldness, the leadership quality that he needed in order to be able to lead Klal Yisrael? He had to grow up in the house of power. He had to grow up in the royal palace. He had to grow up amongst royalty. He had to grow up amongst the ruling class in order to become a leader of Klal Yisrael. So Kadosh Baruch Hu took Moshe, took baby Moshe, made sure that he brought up in a place, he would grow up in a place where he would learn how to be a leader so that he could do what he needed to do. And then, of course, finally, is Moshe himself. Moshe himself, Ahiba Yamahim was in those days, plus a good Aleph. But Yigdal Moshe, Moshe grew great. He grew powerful. He was powerful in Paro's palace. But what did he do? He doesn't remain there. But Yesei El Achav, he went out to his brothers, Bayar Vesavosam, and he saw the suffering. But Yesei El Achav, he went out to his brothers, that even though he was royalty, even though he was growing up and he in Paro's palace and he was in essence a prince, he considered Klal Yisrael his brothers. He went out to his brothers. He saw the suffering. Rashi says, doesn't mean just saw with his eyes. But quoting the Medrash, Nasan Einav Alibo Lios Meitar Aleihem. He focused Einav, his heart, to see what he was seeing and then to bring it to his heart, Libo, to feel and to empathize, Lios Meitar Aleihem, to feel their suffering. And ultimately, that's what makes Moshe Moshe. The fact that he was Nosib old, the fact that he felt the pain of Klal Yisrael, the fact that he went out to be with him, the fact that, as the Medrash says, he helped shoulder the burdens physically, even though he could have so easily avoided, could have so easily stayed away from it. Moshe went out there because Moshe was Moshe. Moshe was a Yetzei El Achav, he went out to his brothers and he cared about them. And all the subsequent stories that the Torah tells about Moshe is nothing more than telling us how Moshe cared and took responsibility for Klal Yisrael. So just a little bit of insight, some things to think about. How, first of all, the heroism that it took from those individuals. Think about Amram Yocheved bringing a child into the world. Think about Miriam giving the advice. Think about Miriam watching over baby Moshe. The hashgacha that we see. Think about the fact that Moshe was found by Bas Paro. Think about the fact that Moshe was brought up in Bas Paro. All of this, and finally, think about Moshe himself and what makes Moshe Moshe, besides everything else, besides his sisters and his spiritually developed self, that was certainly the case beyond anything we can imagine, but it's Vayetzel Achav, they cared about his brothers, and that's what makes a leader of Klai Yisrael, that's what makes a Gadol B'Yisrael, is that caring about every single Jew.